This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
And all guns should be Glocks. All Glocks should be 9mm and Model 19. A generation 4 or 3.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Well, welcome to episode 261. We're going to talk a little bit about rights. And this show is going to be about Second Amendment rights and property rights and how sometimes the two clash. Now, I was wrong about something several months ago. I don't know if it was really that I was wrong or that I misspoke. Maybe it's a combination of both. Most of you know I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong, and I change my mind from time to time when somebody, you know, bops me up alongside the head and say, "Hey, Bob, you knucklehead, you know, maybe you didn't consider this." But several months back, I made the comment that I don't think that a property owner should have the right to take away my Second Amendment rights. Well, I was wrong about that. So this show is about Second Amendment rights versus property rights and how the two sometimes clash. Sometimes they get in the way of each other. We see that all the time. And Ben Branham is going to be my guest, and we're going to talk about that. We have a few other things that we talk about in the interview. We had a chance to have lunch recently and plan out what we're going to do in 2014. And then we got together and did a really cool interview about this subject on rights. So that's coming up shortly. Before that, I want to talk about a voicemail. I got a voicemail recently from a listener, so this is pretty cool. Here you go.
Hey, Bob, this is AJ from Nampa, Idaho. Hey, and I've listened to every podcast, and this is my first time calling. Hey, last episode you told a story about the XDS grip being too small and that causing a problem with somebody's shot in one of your training classes. Now, believe it or not, I'm not going to get mad at you. I have an XDS, and I've actually been carrying an XD subcompact for about 2 years now. And while I've never had that problem, I want to thank you for bringing it to light. I am always trying to find ways to make myself a better shooter, and being open to the things that other people experience is always how I try to make my improvements. So I want to thank you for that, and just to tell you that I'll be looking at that in my training coming up. I also have an XDS as backup, so that's also a good thing to know. Hey, Bob, you reach a lot of people, and you make them think, and you open them up to changing, just like you've done.
Thank you, AJ. That's the primary goal of this podcast. I do this show, and I do these firearms training on the side, and the Shooters Club podcast with Ben and all that stuff. I do it basically to give back and to get people thinking about it. You know, I've been the beneficiary of good training. I have. Not just firearms training, but I've been the beneficiary of some pretty good life training throughout my life, and I want to give back. And so if I can get you to think about something, that's my goal. I'm not always right, but I might get you to think about something. And I share other people's experiences. What AJ's talking about is recently a student in a class that had a problem one time gripping the XDS pistol and not depressing the grip safety properly. And then you couldn't fire the gun. Recently, I interviewed on Paul Lathrop's Politics and Guns podcast. It came out this past Wednesday. So if you listen to the past Wednesday's show, he interviewed me. Paul interviewed me on the Politics and Guns podcast. It's a good podcast. You need to listen to that. And I told the story about a guy in one of our training classes. It only happened one time. Didn't happen to him again. But he didn't properly depress the grip safety. Now, think about it. What if that one time would have been when he needed the gun the most? So pay attention to that in your training. AJ, thank you very much for calling in that voicemail. And thank you for listening to all the shows. He says he's listened to all of them. That's great. Be careful, folks. Be careful if you listen to all of my podcasts, I'm going to put a warning out there. You know, brain damage may occur. Your mental acuity might slightly diminish by listening to 100% of Bob Main's Handgun World podcasts. So I just wanted to put that little disclaimer out there. Okay, let's listen to another voicemail.
Hey, Bob, Mexican Jewel here in Northeast Texas. I'm calling about episode 255 on the Handgun World. And really, I'm not calling to give you any hate mail. I'm here to give you some love. I totally agree with exactly what you said. You had a caller that called in about how ridiculous the training is. I recently went and took my concealed weapons course class to get certified. And while I agree, it was ridiculous to be able to hit this huge target with so many rounds at such close ranges. I agree. But I believe everybody should go out and go beyond that standard and continue their training. I don't think the shooting was difficult at all. But then again, I shoot a lot. I also agree with exactly what you said. You should not necessarily have to have a license to use one of your inalienable rights. But at the same time, there is responsibility involved. And while I believe everybody should have the right to carry a firearm for their personal protection, I also know that some people do need to be qualified to do that. So therefore, being a more advanced shooter, I do not have a problem proving my competency to be able to do that. I put it in the same boat as driving. I believe I have the right to travel pretty much in any way I see fit. But I do have to show that I am qualified to operate a motor vehicle to do that. Since I am not qualified to fly a plane, they should not put me behind the wheel of a plane. So, again, just a bunch of love to you on that. I exactly agree with you. I don't think anybody should send you any hate mail on that. You are handling a piece of machinery that is lethal and can be lethal. So, yes, you should be qualified to use it. And I think the standards are the minimum standard, and I'm fine with that. As you learn to shoot, as anybody who would learn to drive, experience comes with time. And you will, the more you use it, the more experience you'll have, and you'll even become better. So appreciate it. Appreciate everything you do. Keep up the good work, buddy. And God bless you and your family. Right, bye-bye.
Okay, I think I might have played that one for you once before in a previous show. I can't remember, but even so, I wanted to play it again because I think Mexican Joe makes a great point here. And you need to be qualified to carry a gun. Now, don't mistake that for me saying that the government should require training. Because as I mentioned before, I've backtracked on that because I'm nervous about government requirements. I don't like government requirements. We see today what's happening with a government requirement, don't we? Right? All you got to do is pay attention to the news for more than 5 minutes and you'll hear about Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, whatever name they want to give it. When the government starts to require things, some really bad stuff starts to happen. Take it upon yourself to get qualified to carry a gun. That's pretty much all I'm going to say. So I wanted you to hear that again, that voicemail from Mexican Joe. All right, one more quick segment that I want you to listen to, and then I'll bring Ben on for the interview. Okay, I've got some announcements to make before the interview, some really cool announcements. You might have heard them on Paul Lathrop's Politics and Guns podcast, but in case you don't listen to it or haven't listened to the most recent one, here you go. A really cool event that I want to talk about involving Glenn Tate, the author of the best-selling book series, 299 Days. Ben, myself, and Glenn Tate, we've teamed up to do a class up in the Seattle area, up in the Pacific Northwest. So here's a shout out to all of my listeners from Washington and Oregon up there in the Pacific Northwest. On August 9th, 2014, next summer, we are going to teach a one-day class And our special guest at that class is going to be Glenn Tate himself. Ben and I are going to be teaching Beyond Concealed Carry, our standard one-day class that gets rave reviews. If you go to handgunworld.com and you click the Beyond Concealed Carry Seattle page, just look at that. Scroll down to the bottom. You'll see reviews from students who have taken our Beyond Concealed Carry class. And by the way, we've changed the format just a little bit. We kind of enhanced it a little bit to teach some pretty cool stuff that we haven't been teaching the last couple years. But we're doing Beyond Concealed Carry, and our special guest is going to be Glenn Tate. He also mentioned, he told me not to guarantee it, so I'm going to say I'm not going to guarantee it, but perhaps one or two members of the team will also be there to train with us. How cool is that? All right. August 9th, up in the Seattle area, a really neat range. The range owner has sleeping accommodations on the range. So we can handle about 13 people in the bunkhouses. We want the class to be more than 13 people, but if you don't procrastinate and hurry up and sign up, and you are traveling from somewhere, if you want to sleep there at the range in one of the really cool bunkhouses that they have there, please let me know when you sign up. Send me an email. So you could save some money on lodging as well. But that's an 8 to 5 Saturday class. We're going to train, rain or shine, and the investment is only $200 for the day. 300 to 350 rounds of ammo, and so we're teaching Beyond Concealed Carry outside the state of Texas. We're working on two more classes where we're going outside of Texas. We're going to do three classes outside of Texas next year. I've just announced one. Stay tuned, because hopefully I'll have some others to announce shortly. I also want to talk about really cool giveaways for Shooters Club members, current members who are active, and new members. Between now and June 30th, if you sign up on the 30th of June, we're going to do a drawing and we're going to give away some cool stuff. You know what I think the best thing is we're giving away? We're giving away my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield 9mm pistol. I've used it. I've got my enjoyment out of it. I don't carry it as much as I thought I was going to carry it, so I figured some lucky person who has been supporting us by buying Shooters Club memberships is going to win this gun. I've got four magazines. I got 3 8-rounders and a 7-round magazine, and I've also got Ameriglow night sights with an orange front on the pistol, and it's had about a 500-round trigger job, and I've kept it in immaculate condition. So we're going to be giving that away on June 30th. It's obviously going to have to be shipped to your FFL if you win. We're also giving away 250 rounds of 9mm full metal jacket ammo for you to practice with. We're also giving away a really cool range bag, a range bag that we recently got from Academy Sports and Outdoors. I'll be putting some pictures of it up on the website pretty soon. And last but certainly not least, you can also win one ticket to any class, any one-day class that Ben and I teach in 2014, including the class featuring Glenn Tate. So there you go. We're giving away at least those four items on June 30th. Now, there might be more. We might be sweetening the pot. And don't forget about people who have stepped up, product manufacturers who have stepped up, like On Your Six Designs. He gives discounts to Shooters Club members. So take advantage of that. You also get discounts from Sturdy Belt, sturdybelt.com, David Scaife's company. Great belts, great holsters, excellent Kydex holsters by On Your Six Designs. So they get Shooters Club members. Also, they give Shooters Club discounts. Remember the folks at Texas Law Shield? Hey, I don't get anything for this, but they have decided to give you 2 months free on a one-year membership if you use the coupon code HGWORLD1. I'll put that in the show notes. HGWORLD and the number 1. That's your coupon code to get 2 free months with a 1 year membership at Texas Law Shield. Just go to texaslawshield.com. And don't forget American Gun Oil, a sponsor to this show, American Gun Oil. I love that stuff. What I like about it is it's not too thick. I use it on all of my guns. So there's a special link I'll put in the show notes, a special page, and you can get free shipping at American Gun Oil. So how's that for some cool stuff? I like to give back, and hopefully this is going to motivate you to do several things. Sign up for classes, join the Shooters Club. Oh, and by the way, did I mention we put up 2 videos a month on the Shooters Club? How cool is that? 2 instructional videos per month. Good stuff that you'll enjoy. All right, let's bring Ben Branham on the show. Ben Branham's back on the show. Welcome back, Ben.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, it's been a while since you've been on.
Yeah, but we're still hanging out. We just did a course this last weekend, and we just had lunch. And, boy, I've been busy with my own podcast. So we're like, oh, let's schedule something, and then we skip it.
And we do have a specific topic, but you brought up our class last weekend. So now that you've had a chance to decompress from teaching that, I have.
Got to warm up.
Let's talk about it, because it was very well received by the small group of students we had. We taught our pistol fighting dynamics team tactics or team fighting class.
Yeah, which is something that's awesome. I love to teach that, and it was a lot of fun. And you got to go back to basics, and it take a while. But, man, just think about your worst-case scenario that you're in a fight and your wife's there, or you're in a fight and you just kind of – we all like to play the worst-case scenario, Red Dawn, kind of in our mind. And you end up with a terrorist at, you know, Mumbai. You're out in the parking lot, and you decide you're going to go back in with a handgun. Well, yeah, super brave, and all the, you know, your decision whether you're going to do it or not. But it wouldn't it be nice to have some skills when you just pick up with the local PD, or you see other good guys walking in, somebody that you know, and, you know, I'm in the parking lot, and you see me walking back in, and or it's just somebody you know that's a pistol fighter, and they go, hey, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have an idea of how to move together and fight together? Because you triple or quadruple your effectiveness if you fight together than fighting alone.
And I thought about, when we were teaching that class, I thought about husband and wife teams. I thought about father and son, or mother and son, or mother and daughter. I thought about parent and child teams if you're fighting from either within your house or maybe both of you are carrying. I get a lot of emails from listeners saying that both husband and wife carry. Well, I want to ask all of you who are listening to this, if you and your spouse carry, do you know how to fight together? That's what we teach.
Yeah, and we had a great class. And if you think about it, too, just like you and I hang out together, I know we're both carrying a gun right now. Yep. I didn't even ask you, but and you know I'm carrying. So if something happens, we're going to expect to fight together to solve the problem and win. Same thing when I'm working at the gun shop. Just like everybody, half of the people that I hang out with nowadays carry a gun. And so when you start doing that, wouldn't it be great if something went down that, you know your friend's going to pull your gun, but now you both have an idea of how you're going to work together and communicate.
Yep, and it looks like we haven't nailed it down yet, but it looks like for those of you in North Texas, we're going to be bringing this class to North Texas. I think we said somewhere around May or something like that, approximately. Don't quote me on that, listeners.
If we can get the range order to accept the curriculum.
Yeah, or we're going to do it again here in San Antonio coming up shortly. So, and speaking of that, one more thing before we get into the topic we want to talk about. Ben and I just met. We haven't finalized our 2014 schedule, but probably by the time you hear this, which will be a few days before Christmas, we'll have our 2014 schedule nailed down, and we're probably going to post the first 6 months of it on both of our websites coming up soon.
Yes, can't wait. We actually got to just run down the ranges. We've got a plan, guys, but it's all about getting the ranges and the range owners to accept what our plan is.
We got more night fighting classes coming up. We've got more beyond concealed carry. We have more pistol fighting dynamics, maybe a rifle fighting dynamics here and there. Some good stuff coming up.
It's going to be a blast. All of you guys that went to our classes this year, love you guys. You're freaking awesome. I had such a great time teaching all the classes. I don't think I had a... I mean, there was one I think I almost died in the heat. You know, I'd rather not repeat the almost die part, but the class was still awesome. So I expect 2014 to be just as great. So you guys, come out and see us. Have fun. Everybody that's come has had a great time at our class, and they learned something. So I guarantee, I'll put my money where my mouth is. If you don't have a good time, I'll give you the stinking refund for the class if you come.
And I'll second that. And we're going to be traveling. We don't have that nailed down, but we got a plan to do probably 3 classes outside of Texas next year. So for those of you that have been emailing and saying, hey, when you guys coming to a place near me, we might be coming to a place near you in 2014 at least once or twice.
So come check out the website. Have fun. Enough with the ad.
Enough with the ad. All right. So you and I had a discussion the other day about gun rights, and specifically we were talking about property rights versus Second Amendment rights. Now, I'll start this off by saying, you know, I kind of made some comments I'll take back 6 or 7 months ago when I was talking about the fact that I was disappointed that property owners were taking Second Amendment rights away from citizens. I'm kind of, I don't really know how I feel about this issue, but I'll weigh in a little bit. Ben, why don't you talk about it first?
Cool. I'm very opinionated on this one. Pretty simple. My rights end where it starts to trump on you. I think the individual rights is the way to go, and that includes our gun rights. And what I mean by that is if you are a store owner or if you have your home, you should have the right to tell me that I can't carry a gun in there. And I will respect your rights and not do it. And for me, that's not totally what I do. For me, if you have a sign up in your store that says no guns, I will respect that, and I'm going to go eat somewhere else. It's your choice. There's consequences to your choice. I mean, people got really pissed last year when Dick's Sporting Goods stopped carrying Black Rifles, and I posted all over their Facebook, well, this is how you treat your customers? I'm not going to be a customer. And I got all attacked on their Facebook page. Of course Dick's has the right to not sell a product. They don't have to sell everything. They have a right to choose what they want to sell. But I also have a right to do business somewhere else. Just because they think they're going to take the moral high ground and say no guns doesn't mean there's no consequences to their actions. But yeah, it's very simple, and there just needs to be... Here's where the law needs to step into. This is where one of those common sense gun laws... Yeah, haha, I said that. Needs to be able to be enforced. And what I mean by that is Texas, I think, does a very, very good job of this. Businesses have to post an exact sign with the law on it in a certain size type. It has to be at least this big. It has to be on every general entrance. And there's all these things that they have to go through. And then that way, the store owner's rights and their wishes carry the weight of law. The gun, like here, the gun with the little circle slash through it.
Doesn't count.
Doesn't mean anything legally. And so I kind of like that. I think Texas has that middle ground on that. And then the other thing they can't do is employers and everything can't dictate the parking lot. Even schools here in Texas can't say no guns in their parking lot. State law lets you do that. So it's kind of, here really is that middle ground and really is that common sense gun law where I think that, you know, somebody's house, they have the right to say that I can't bring my gun into their house. Should be the same way with their store. It's their property. It's their business. It's their rights. And then I'm there as a guest. Well, you're not going to go in a guest and make a, you know, kick everything open. But they want me to spend money there, so they better treat me nice.
Okay, I agree with what you're saying almost. And here's the almost. I agree that property owners have the right to deny gun carrying on their premises, because let's face it, the Second Amendment only restricts the federal government. The Second Amendment does not restrict property owners. So the Second Amendment basically says the federal government cannot take away your right to keep and bear arms. And if we really look at the Constitution the way it was written, the Constitution is limiting the powers of the federal government. It doesn't really limit the powers of property owners. Having said that, when a property properly posts, whether it's Texas or any other state, when a property posts no guns and prohibits it, they establish a gun-free zone. And we all know what happens in gun-free zones. We all know that lately, lots of people been getting killed in gun-free zones. Now, people say, well, you don't have to go to that restaurant. You don't have to shop at that store. That I get. Here's the challenge. Okay? Most of us don't have a lot of choices in schools. We got some choice, but not much as to where we send our kids to school. A lot of people simply can't afford to send their children to a private school. Most of them don't have the means to send them to another school district that doesn't have transportation. So here we are creating gun-free zones in schools. I'll give you another example where people work. I hear a lot of people say the argument, well, your employer has the right to keep you from carrying a gun in there because you can just go work somewhere else. You know, in theory, that sounds good. In reality, just picking up and working somewhere else is not all that feasible, especially in today's economy. And you think about it. What if somebody's been working a job 25 years? They've gained status. They've gained seniority in the company. They're high up there, making good money. They're valuable to the company. And all of a sudden, Mr. Smith decides he's got his CHL license, and he wants to carry at work, and his employer says, no, and if you're going to carry here, you're fired. Well, now who's really won? Has the employer won? Has the employee won? And Mr. Smith, who's got all this seniority in the company, it might not be all that easy for him to just snap his fingers and find another job. What do you think about that?
Well, you brought up a lot of points. Let's go back to schools first, and then we'll talk about the employers. Schools, that is a public place. That is the federal government tromping on your rights. That should not be allowed. So we kind of agree on that. Schools should not be gun-free zones. It's pretty simple. We know how many people die in gun-free zones. And the federal government should not be able to say that a school is a gun-free zone. And they do right now. State laws mirror federal law a lot. But a federal law says that the school is a gun-free zone. And I'm pretty sure state law where they say you can have it in the parking lot here in Texas is contradicting the federal law.
Okay, wait a minute. I don't know if that's correct. I don't think federal law establishes gun-free zones in schools. In fact, I'm pretty sure here in Texas, it's actually up to the local school district, whether they want to allow guns in their schools or not. That's a state law. The Texas legislature has affirmed that a school district can allow guns on property.
Yes, and I am pretty sure, and I want to type away on my phone right now, but the federal law creates all schools, public schools, as a gun-free zone. And then all our state laws just kind of mirror that because the federal government doesn't enforce any of that.
Well, obviously and Texas has chosen to give the middle finger to the federal government.
Which I really enjoy.
Okay.
God, I'm trying to remember what year that law came out, and it was like the late 90s, mid-90s somewhere. And it actually said that they made a gun-free zone, and it was within like 500 feet of a school.
1,000, I think it was.
1,000 feet or something. And it put all these houses in there. It made the law totally unenforceable, and it was a horribly, horribly written law. But it's still on the books, as far as I know.
Okay.
So,
we agree on this point that schools should not be gun-free zones.
Right.
That neither the state, the federal government, nor the school districts should make schools gun-free zones.
Because we know that illegal bad people are going to do bad things, whether there's a law against it or not.
Okay. And what do you think about my point? You know, we don't have a whole heck of a lot of choice, especially in some states, where your children go to school.
Florida just enacted something that says you have to send your kid to school. There's no more whole. They're trying to get rid of homeschooling.
Exactly. But even when a parent wants to send their child to public schools, not a whole lot of choices.
You have zero choice here in Texas unless you're going to skirt the law and decide and use a false address.
No, not really. I can send my son to any school in the district.
Huh? You can.
There's several high schools in the district that he goes to.
Okay.
However, the problem is that they're all gun-free zones.
Yeah, they're
so
all.
So it doesn't matter whether I have a choice or not. He'd be going to a gun-free zone no matter where he went to.
So yeah, well.
And I don't have the money to send him to a private school.
And most private schools are going to be a gun-free zone anyways. But at least that's a. But so I'm with you on that. I don't think the school should be a gun-free zone. Hey, we have laws in place already. For the CHL carriers, why can't I, as a CHL certified good guy, who is probably better than 90% of the police officers walking out there and would do better in a gunfight than most, probably 95% of them out there, why can't I carry my gun onto a school zone?
All right, so what do you think about employers?
Employers, I'm going to differ with you a little bit. I know that these big faceless corporations, and I know they do it for liability reasons, which let's talk about that in a second, but I still think We're looking at the owners, the business owners' rights. It's their right. It's their building. It's their decision whether they want guns on their property or not. I like Texas, how they said that they can't forbid it in the parking lot. So somebody that's going to and from work doesn't have to be disarmed all the time and doesn't have to be disarmed on the way home when they want to stop at Walmart to get something to eat or, you know, stuff like that. But it's still their property. And it hurts me to say that, honestly, because I dislike it. I think it's completely wrong. I think that you should not take your self-defense, the ability for anybody to defend themselves anywhere at any time, you shouldn't be taking that away. And in today's world, that's a freaking firearm. Pandora's box was opened hundreds and hundreds of years ago. They made gunpowder work. They made the first rocket. Then they just shrank it and put it in a gun. And now it's out. You look at all this stuff and you can see in Afghanistan and stuff, they're making handmade with a freaking hammer and a piece of steel. They're hand making machine guns. Even if you got rid of them, made them all illegal, went out and confiscated all of them, some guy in his garage is going to get a hammer and a punch and a piece of steel and is going to make freaking firearms. You can't stop it. It's done. It's out there.
Well, and here's the appeal I want to make on this show, because I know there's somebody like this listening to this podcast. If you are an employer and you own a business and you're listening to this show right now, please do not restrict firearms on your property, because what you're doing is you're creating a gun-free zone, and you are literally putting all of your employees at risk. Because we've all heard that many shootings have happened in a workplace, right? A disgruntled employee gets fired, and they're disgruntled, and they decide to take it out on their boss and everybody. And what do? They go to where they used to work, and they start shooting. And so if you prohibit people from carrying in your business, which, yes, you have a right to do because you own the property, I think you're a fool.
I would have to agree with you. You're just wrong. You're morally wrong by saying that I'm going to take the liability road. Because look, in today's society, here's the liability piece. If I, as a business owner, make a policy that says no guns on my property or in my vehicles or when you're doing company business, now I can't be held liable if you shoot somebody. If I don't make that policy and I'm this large corporation that has, you know, maybe you're not a large corporation, but maybe you're doing, you know, $3 or $4 million worth of business a year and you have $4 or $5 million worth of revenue. Well, you look like a giant business to some dirtbag that just got shot because your delivery guy, he tried to rob your delivery guy and your delivery guy shot him legitimately and it was a good shoot. But now he's going to go sue you. And now your lawyers and the freaking insurance companies take over. And you as a business owner lose the moral ground there because they say it's their fight, not yours anymore. And they start paying these people out. Well, that's the problem. So your insurance company is going to want you to have a no gun policy because then they don't have to pay any of that crap out.
Right. But I think and I agree with you on that, Ben. I agree with you on that. But I think the argument that I see a lot out there, I see this on forums, I see it on Facebook, I see it everywhere. The argument is, well, if you don't like your employer's gun policy, go work somewhere else. It's not that easy to do.
No, but as part of our society that you do have that choice to go work somewhere else. And now, you and I are different generations pretty much. I mean, you're almost a generation older than me. He's right. Half a century older, as his kid says. But yeah, I'm 35 and Bob's almost right at 50.
I'm 52.
Okay.
I'm 52.
Gosh darn, it's been a long time.
I'm 52 years young.
See, I met him before he was half a century old.
That's right.
but hey, we're almost from a different generation. Me, I worked for one employer for 7 years and that was a god-awful long time. I'm working for my employer right now for 3 years. I'm starting to get the itch that says I need a new business, I need a new job, I need something new. And my generation younger, going to a new business because of something moral and lifestyle isn't going to be that big a deal. Whereas my parents that are older than you, Bob, by a ways.
I hope so.
Yes, they are. my father, he's worked as long as I've known him, like my life, I can remember, he's worked for two different places. And I mean, he's had two different real jobs, like his base job. He's had a couple miscellaneous crap from here and there, but he worked for one Westrux company that got bought out 3 times and he stayed with them. And then he finally moved to another trucking company. He's been working there probably for 15 years. And I'm like, hey, Dad, why don't you quit and move out here? Oh, I can't do that. I mean, that generation is programmed that you get a job out of school, out of high school, out of college, and then you stay there for the rest of your life.
Well, you sort of just proved my previous point. Now, I'm not saying that we should change the law and take people's property rights away from them. So before I get hate mail on that, that's not what I'm that's not what I'm suggesting, okay? But you brought up a really, really good point. I mean, your dad is one case of it. I'll give you another example. Okay, here in Texas, we got a pretty good economy. So if I wanted to quit what I was doing and find another job, it wouldn't be too hard for me to do. Probably at equal pay with equal opportunity. However, There are a lot of states in the United States, and I know I have international listeners too. There are a lot of places where jobs are really, really hard to come by. And people don't, it's not very easy for somebody to just walk in one day and say, I hate your gun policy, so I'm quitting, and I'm going down the street to work for XYZ competitor.
No, it takes some time, and here's what I'm proposing on that. One is that if they're a small person and you can go up and talk to them, if they're, you know, if you work for the owner, CEO slash owner slash president slash everything, and you can knock on his door and say hello, well, maybe you want to talk to him about that gun policy. Maybe his lawyer just got to him and said, hey, you should just do this because it's better off for your business. Well, it's hard for these guys to take the moral high ground when you're putting their whole, and remember that, especially if you think about it, they're a small business owner. This is what they've been doing their whole life. They've had this company for 20 years. And their lawyer is telling them, well, if your employee shoots somebody, they could take the whole company from you. So remember that you're asking your employer to put a lot on the line. His whole company, his whole well-being, everything he owns. And sometimes they can pierce that corporate veil and they can go after his individual stuff. Well, you're asking him to put all of that on the line to let you carry a gun.
Which is not, yeah, and I wouldn't want to do that. If I was a small business owner in that situation, I wouldn't want to risk
so
that.
So when you're thinking about it, you're asking him to put a lot on the line. So you got to be nice, and you got to look at it from their point of view. And corporations are doing the same thing. You know, we don't want to have a $10 million payout because one of our delivery drivers from Pizza Hut shot a robber.
So instead, they'd rather have a gun-free zone.
Right. And from a pure economic standpoint right now, it is cheaper and safer for them to have a gun-free policy or a no-gun policy because they have zero liability.
Okay, now, hold on a second.
Flip that coin, though.
Let's flip it in just a second. We got distracted because a 2014 Corvette drove by. We had to take a minute to look at
it. Brand new, gorgeous. Anyways, so when you flip that coin, I'm thinking us as gun people, we need to unite and start being jerks. Complete and utter, well, I was going to use a bad word, but I won't. Little A word right there. Dude, we need to, as gun people, when we get attacked by somebody, we need to sue that person.
Yeah.
When our employer takes away our right for self-defense, we need to sue our company if somebody gets hurt working for that company. And I know that sounds horrible, but it's going to be hard to be those first couple test cases. But once that dam is cracked, we're going to have all these midnight lawyers. They're going to come in and do what they do. And they ruined it for us the one way for carrying the gun. Well, let's use those freaking midnight ambulance chaser jerks to our advantage. And if somebody gets hurt on the job and there's a no gun policy, start suing the company. And make sure if you're going to sue your company, you can't really work there. You can't plan to. That's why this is hard again. Another moral high ground that's going to take a lot. But if you can't, if you're a delivery guy like me or a worker, I'm a field guy. I got to be able to work and move around. If I get shot in the field and I can't work for 8 months, sue my company. Yeah, and they're big enough to have insurance. Who am I really suing? The insurance company. Now, once the insurance company starts paying out the other way, now they'll go, wait a second. There's some downside to this no gun policy. Maybe we need to re-examine what we're doing here.
That's not a bad idea.
And I think that's really what it's going to take for us to start overturning this. There's no downside to having an anti-gun policy.
Well, there's something else, okay? And there's another thing that can help overturn the trend of employers preventing guns on their property in their building. Consider this, and I'm speaking to you business owners listening right now, okay? Just look at pure statistics. How many people with a concealed carry license commit crimes versus how many without a concealed carry license commit a gun crime? I'm talking about gun crimes. How many with versus how many without? It's not even close. The number of concealed carry permit holders that actually commit a crime with that gun is so small, it barely even registers in the statistics. So if you're a business owner and you're preventing guns on your property, the danger is not your employee with a CHL license. The danger is any employee that doesn't have a CHL, or any former employee that doesn't have a CHL, or any schmuck off the street that decides he wants to rob or create havoc inside of your building. Those are the dangerous people. So maybe if you're a business owner, this is the conversation you want to have with your insurance company. Maybe you go to your insurance company and say, why don't you show me the statistics? Show me the actuary statistics of people with concealed carry licenses that you're worried about having to pay out on. Because, you know, seriously, I mean, just look at the actual. I would like to know, where do these insurance companies get their information if that's the problem? I mean, how many times on the news do you hear about at XYZ Corporation, an employee with a CHL shot somebody on their property? How many times? You ever heard that?
No, I haven't. So that's kind of funny. That's why I'm laughing.
So maybe business owners, maybe you might want to listen to this. Maybe some of you might want to have a conversation with your manager or the owner of your company and ask him or her, you know, what exactly is it that you're worried about and what do you base it on?
The other thing you might want to do, and when you're a small business and you start to make millions of dollars a year in revenue, not just you got, if you're not a business owner, you're not understanding this. I'm talking about revenue. So, you know, Bob sells door locks and he sells, you know, what are you selling? Like a couple million dollars a year worth of locks?
Yeah, a couple million dollars worth of hotel security door locks and
minus,
other products.
But that's the revenue that's coming in. But he's got to pay the installer. He's got to pay for the locks themselves. He's got to pay all that stuff. So Bob is not making millions of dollars a year selling the locks, and neither is the employer. So when you look at this, when you start to make that kind of revenue, though, as an employer, it's really not that a lot, but it looks like a lot. And this is where, you know, it looks like a lot, so people want to rob you of it. You know, that dirtbag that got shot by one of your employees is like, oh, well, you know, you should have trained your employee better, so I'm going to sue you because my lawyer says we can make money.
But wait a minute. How many dirtbags are getting shot by employees, especially employees with CHLs? That's my point.
Well, no, I mean legitimate shootings. Like, who was it? Just Pizza Hut just fired another one of their drivers because the guy tried to rob him at gunpoint, and the driver defended himself with a firearm and shot the guy. Oh, Pizza Hut has...
Those cases are few and far between.
Well, no, but that's a legitimate self-defense case.
It is. That's a legit,
And so Pizza Hut just fired him because they have no gun policy.
Right.
It happened at AutoZone. I'm trying to think all the companies
Did Pizza Hut get sued big time over there?
Yeah, that's the other thing. And I'm going to go to you and your insurance company as a business owner. If your insurance company is saying you need to have a no gun policy, I'm thinking you need to have a new insurance company.
Exactly. Or either that or ask your insurance company, show me the statistics that show where you're having to pay out all these huge claims that you say because one employee with a concealed carry license shoots somebody on property.
And you got to have insurance as a small business owner. And,
you have to have it, sure.
And hopefully you guys that are small business owners over there, out there, this is where I'd say you want to have this fight, is you want to stand up to your insurance company. Because if your insurance company covers you over that crap that happens, if your employee does shoot somebody and it was a legitimate shooting, even either way, and that dirtbag wants to come back after your company, that's when your insurance company is going to step in. And the best way I've heard that, if you have $10 million worth of insurance, you have $10 million worth of lawyers between you and the guy that's trying to sue you. And that's what you're looking for.
I think business owners need to make an exception. And I'm not saying they should be forced to make an exception. I'm just saying they need to make an exception for people that have a valid concealed carry license from their state. Because here's why. We are the good guys. Concealed carry license holders, we are the good guys. It's statistically proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that we commit far less crimes than people who don't have such a license. We've been background checked out the yin-yang. In most states, you have to go to a training course to get the license. And we're not a risk. We're not the ones that are causing the trouble out there. So business owners, you know, maybe this is a futile attempt, but if I convince one, I'll consider it a success. Change your policy. Let the people who have a valid concealed carry license carry inside your building.
I think that would be awesome. And then if your insurance company doesn't like that, I'm thinking this is where you take the moral high ground. There's lots of insurance companies out there. They're not the only one. And you can't tell me that no insurance company does it, because I work for a gun shop. We all carry guns. We work with guns every day. And we have huge insurance policies for all of that stuff. So it's not out of the realm. There is somebody that will write you a policy. You know, when the guy says, because if you have this conversation with your insurance agent and he goes, well, no, we only cover you if you have this policy of no guns. And you say, well, I'm going to have to find another insurance agent. He's going to tell you, well, every single insurance company has the same policy. We didn't do this on our own. We're part of an insurance conglomeration and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's going to tell you blah, 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 blah. But you're going to have to, you know, hey, maybe it's time for me to find a new insurance company.
Thank yeah, or maybe get your current insurance company to write a special rider for you or something.
There you go.
I don't know, but... You know, the thing is, and here's something else to think about. I'm talking to employers again, or I'm talking to people who could influence your employer, okay? If you've got a valuable employee, he or she is valuable. They do a really good job. They make you a significant amount of money. Why do you want to lose them? Because they want to protect themselves? Why do you want to risk them potentially going to work for somebody else? Maybe they do have the ability to get another job somewhere that has a more friendly gun policy. Why do you want to risk losing a valuable employee that has a concealed carry license when they might be able to go to work for a competitor and carry there?
I would have to agree. And now, going the other way, we've been talking to the employers for a while.
Yeah.
And managers and stuff. If you're an employee, now you heard a lot of the employer side of it. Now you can have some respect and some thought about what is costing your employer, the company you work for, to not have a policy against guns. You're asking a lot of them. So when you start asking them questions, and if you can knock on your boss's door and he's the owner of the company and he says it because of the insurance agency, why don't you pick up the ball and say, hey, boss, what if I find you a new insurance company that will cover us even if we carry guns?
Well, it might not have anything to do with insurance either.
But I mean,
it might be maybe the boss is anti-gun.
I'm assuming the boss is not anti-gun and that he's doing it for legal purposes. Why don't you help him
out? Maybe it's the company lawyer telling him not to do it.
Yeah. Why don't
not
you,
to allow guns.
Why don't you help him out, pull some statistics, look it up on the internet, bring it in there, talk to the boss about it, help him out with whatever he needs to get that policy reversed. Because he didn't just, unless the guy is completely, the owner is completely anti-gun, they didn't do the policy just because they wanted to screw you. They did the policy because they thought that was what was best for the company.
For them.
And right. The corporation.
Right.
So you need to find the paperwork and do the legwork that says, hey, we can be just as successful without this anti-gun policy.
You need to basically do the legwork to show them that having the anti-gun policy does not really give them much of an advantage at all.
Right.
And speaking of that, you said earlier in the interview that we need to become bigger jerks. Yeah, I agree. We do need to become bigger jerks. And here's one way.
Not to your employer.
No, not to your employer. But here's one way I think we need to start dealing with businesses that post no guns. Again, this is about property rights versus the Second Amendment. So they have the property right to post no guns. Okay? But if you want to be a real jerk, you know, we all know the technique of going to the owner of the establishment and telling him or her that you're never coming back because of the no gun sign. You could take that a step further. Why don't you try to be clever and figure out a way to advertise that ABC company has a no gun sign and all gun lovers stay away from that business. If you have local followers on Facebook, get on Facebook, get on Twitter, talk about it, possibly distribute flyers if you're that aggressive. Say, hey, I mean, hey, you got a free speech right, okay? There's all kinds of things. You can get real creative. And you can start spreading the word and telling your local community, XYZ company has established a gun-free zone. It's dangerous to go into that business. Do not go in there because there's a gun-free zone and you could be putting your life in danger. And you could actually tell the business owner you plan to do this. Now you're really being a jerk, aren't you?
Yeah, and or you could be nice about being a jerk, too, and say, hey, Tom Gresham said to do this, and so did a couple other podcasters. You go to the door and you see that there's no gun sign. You go somewhere else. The next day, you contact the manager by email or phone, and you say, "Hey, I wanted to come eat at your establishment, do business with you.
I was turned
away at the door."
Yep.
And then you've got his full and complete attention because he's thinking, "I just lost business. Why?" And then you tell him straight up, you know, "Hey, you put an anti-gun set on the door. That makes it unsafe for me to have my family there. And we were prepared to spend a couple $100 yesterday, but we went to your competitor across the street and spent the money. And we'll be letting my, you know, we'll be until you change that, you know, and then start a conversation. Why? Why do you have that sign up there? You know, and if he tells you, you know, he might know, he might not know. He might say it's corporate policy, which he may or may not be truthful on.
Right.
But, you know, some of those fights you're going to just have to give up and say, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your point of view. You have to appreciate mine. I will not be coming in your business anymore. And then have the moral wherewithal to actually do it.
And you need to get other people to do it. You need to get, if you know friends that go to that establishment, ask your friends to do the same. One thing might be good is if you know friends and you frequent a restaurant, for example. You know, maybe one day you and your friends all together send an email. So now he knows he didn't just lose one person's business, but he might have lost five people's business because he's got the no gun sign.
20,
I mean,
30.
That's kind of ratcheting up the pressure a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when it becomes a business, hey, we're talking business decisions. As long as they're not completely anti-gun, which most of these are corporate decisions, you know, hey, when they're losing business and the manager of that restaurant has to report to his boss, the regional manager, and why his business is down, and he sends in, hey, I got 30 emails this last month that said they wouldn't come in because of the anti-gun sign up there. And those are 30 families that didn't eat here. With those 30 families, I would have made my numbers. Now we're below our numbers. You might want to think about changing that signs. And all of a sudden, you've got these corporate people's attention that, hey, what do they want? They want you to make that profit margin. Make that money. If you're not doing it, they want to know why.
And now you're appealing to... I've been in sales 28 years, so I've learned you have to appeal to people's emotions. Well, you're definitely appealing to the emotion of a manager when you show him or her that they're losing business and margin and profitability because they're losing customers. Now you got their attention. Another thing you might want to appeal to and to throw a little bit of emotion in there is you need to know your stuff. You need to let them realize and help them understand that CHL holders, concealed carriers, don't commit very many crimes. These are not the people you should be worried about. You need to be worried about the crack-smoking scumbag off of the street that decides he wants to rob your place, not your customers, your everyday customers that carry CHLs.
Yeah, we pretty much beat the dead horse with that one. But, hey, I hope you guys got some stuff out of this. I would like to add one thing for those employers-employee relationship. If you have a boss that's anti-gun, why don't you take him shooting with you?
I was just gonna say, take him shooting.
That was the last one. Why don't you ask him to come shooting with you and go to a range, not out to your backyard. Go to an actually established range. This is something I learned from my wife, that they're more comfortable the first time shooters at an actual range where it's controlled by other people too, especially if they don't know your background and they're not sure about you. And ask him to go shooting, and then just take some fun guns and let him shoot. Don't try to do a huge class. Keep the safety. And just have fun. That's it. Don't expect them to do anything besides, you know, be safe with the gun and have a good time. And I think you might find that they may not be anti-gun after a couple months of that.
Well, let me go one step further. This is actually based on an email that I got from a listener. And he asked me not to share his name, so I won't. But this happened about 3 months ago. He established within his company that he works for, he established a company... shooting activity. They do it once a month. They go to a public range and they shoot together. They try each other's guns. He basically found out that there were other people that had CHLs and they did it outside of work and they liked to shoot. Well, it grew and people started hearing about it. And they used to do it on Wednesday nights, he said. And it was one Wednesday night a month. They would all get together after company hours and they go to a shooting range. And it grew to like 25 people within the company, and they started talking, and somehow the word got to the boss. And he basically admitted that, well, he wasn't anti-gun. He just thought it was the right thing to do and have a no-guns policy, and he actually changed his mind. And he allows people with only a concealed carry permit, and it's here in Texas, we call it CHL. He allows only people with CHLs to carry at work.
Cool.
So, and it was all because one employee took the initiative and set up a once a month, hey, let's go shoot, you know, and he did it within his company and off the company premises outside of business hours.
And it's not like we're talking about anything hard, you guys. I know if you're listening to this show, you like to go shooting. So I'm not asking you to go to the dentist and get teeth pulled here. We're asking you to go shooting.
Now, let's talk about, we'll finish up real quick. Let's talk about the good side of this. Earlier this summer, we had a man who owns an electric company here in Texas send 8 people to one of our training classes.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome. I don't know if we can mention his name or the company, but he was out of West Texas. They all drove into Dallas, had a class with us, all 8 of them. They were great guys. If you guys are listening, you guys rock. I still, well, I had a blast at that class.
So he's not anti-gun. He's those are more employers. We'd like to see more employers like him. So, you know, we're not going to mention his name because we didn't get his permission to do that. But, you know, he brought 8 students to one of our classes, and they all worked for him. And so that's cool.
And he paid for the trip. The boss paid for the trip.
The boss paid for the trip, and I probably paid for the training, too.
Yeah, so that was kind of a cool thing. So
yeah,
hey, maybe we'll find some more companies doing that and having fun and taking people shooting. If you get the initiative going to stop the anti-gun stuff,
and by the way, I just want to let's finish up. This is going to get posted about 4 days before Christmas. So Merry Christmas to all of our listeners, everybody who have attended our classes. We wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And at least for my show, this may be the last podcast of this year. I may take about a 10-day break and start doing it again after the first of the year.
Aw.
Yeah, well, I got to take a little time off.
No, you don't want family time? What's that?
Family time, huh? Yeah. But Merry Christmas to everybody, and hope you get a lot of good gun stuff for Christmas.
Yeah, be safe for the holidays, and enjoy the new year safely, and just be safe all the way around.
Thanks for your time, Ben.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Love you guys.
Just realized something I forgot to mention in the announcements, so I'm sandwiching this in somewhere. We're doing another night class. We had a lot of people that couldn't make the last night, low-light, night fighting course. So February 8th in San Antonio, to all of our San Antonio-based shooters, February 8th, 3:30 to 10:30, we're doing another Pistol Fighting Dynamics Night Fighting course. Go to Handgun World and check that out. And yes, Dallas listeners, we are bringing the night fighting class to North Texas. We're going to be doing about 3 classes up in North Texas, so be watching the calendar, be listening to the show, and checking handgunworld.com. Thank you, Ben Branham. Don't forget, he's got a good podcast too, the Modern Self Protection Podcast, and of course he teaches a lot of classes with me. And how could I forget Close Range Gunfighting Level 2, which is going to include some point shooting. I'm teaching that on behalf of Suarez International, April 5th and 6th. Go to the show notes, April 5 and 6th. It's a 2-day class, about a 500-round class. It's not the same close-range gunfighting curriculum taught by Suarez International in the past. A little bit of point shooting in there and some pretty intensive moving and shooting. So check that out. And if you can sign up before the end of this year, you save $100. Folks, thanks for listening to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. This is going to be my last show for the rest of this year. So, as Ben and I said, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you and yours. I hope that Santa brings you some very good gun stuff, and go out shooting during the holidays. Enjoy. You know, if you're up in the cold weather, find an indoor range and go have some fun. Take some family members shooting during the Christmas season. And because I am politically incorrect, I am going to say Merry Christmas to all of you. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Remember that the loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. I will be putting up another show the first Sunday of the new year. I don't remember what date that is, but it'll release on Sunday afternoon like my show normally does. Shoot straight, shoot safe, and I'll talk to you in 2014. Goodbye. All guns should be closed.